The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. The Lord commands Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning.
I don't know about you, but when I have, most of us have used a GPS, right? Those things that tell us where to go. When we don't know the way. I didn't have GPSs back in the day, but I got to tell you that I have this character flaw. Not just one, I've got a few. But since we only have an hour in church, I won't start listing them out today, one by one. But I will tell you this one that is a little bit of a quirky one. Whenever you use a GPS and it tells you estimated time of arrival, I say, right, the race is on. Does anyone else do that? I use it and I say, it says, rightio, 9:45. I'll say, I'll tell you. You're not telling me what time we're going to get there. And I try to beat it. I try to find the best way to get there. Sometimes, there was an incident last year where we went to Toowoomba Salvos and some people said, oh, do you need us to let you know how to get there? Pretty sure I got it covered. And then when I got to the top of the hill and I turned the wrong way and went down the back streets, they went, you've gone the wrong way, we're now lost. Because it wasn't the way that was normal and the way that they had always gone. Does a different route mean a wrong route? Sometimes yes. Like if you're in a rush from Boona to Calba, and you turn right at the roundabout at the bottom of Yates Avenue and continue to turn right and then follow that road, you've ended up at Peak Crossing, right? You're still going to get here. It doesn't make it the wrong route, but if you're trying to achieve something, then there's good ways and not so good ways, and then there's the GPS way often that sends you down one-way streets when you're in the middle of Melbourne. And it makes you start praying like mad. Dear Jesus, don't call me home just yet. I will turn around when I can. And there's cars coming towards you, flashing their lights, possibly swearing in another language, but they were yelling. And it's one of those prayer moments where you think to yourself, oh, I didn't sign up for this. Have you ever had moments in your life where you thought to yourself, I haven't signed up for this? I signed up for something, but I didn't sign up for this. Do you think that that might have been Joshua's story this morning? I didn't sign up for this. And here we are at the very start of the book. We haven't made it to the promised land yet in the midst of this story. And the person that has led them out of the oppression of Israel, of Egypt, of the Israelite people, Hebrew people have been oppressed for so long. They've been led out by Moses, and here is the best news of the day. Moses, your servant, is dead. I didn't sign up for this. I'm not doing it on my own. I thought we were doing it with Moses, the person who was our GPS. It's almost like the GPS just went flat. It's always bad when that happens. When you have to start almost following your nose. It was a real shock to me when I got married, because my wife doesn't do this to maps, and it's okay if you do, but my mum does. And she turns the map around, right? Depending on which way you're going. And that's okay. It's the first time I went driving with Debbie and she didn't turn the map. I thought, we are dead set lost. Are we supposed to be going left here or right? She just seemed to be able to do it without moving the map. The map's moved in this passage this morning. And yet there's clear direction from God as to what needs to happen next. Be strong and courageous. When you don't know the way to go, be strong and courageous. When you can't see a way clear, be strong and courageous. There are two statements that he makes in this early passage that I want to focus on this morning. In this first part of Joshua, we read these the words that we've read this morning that Debbie's read for us. And these are the two parts that I want to pull out. They need to purify themselves before the Almighty. Joshua had learned the wisdom of depending on God for success, because sin can prevent us from living out God's way. Sin being aside or separate to God's way. It would have been easy for Joshua to give up, wouldn't it? I know that if there was a give up option and I was in Joshua's shoes, I would have been taking it every day. But God continues to say, he doesn't say it once, he doesn't say it twice, but he says, be strong and courageous. Don't lose sight of where we're heading. Don't lose sight of what we're doing. Secondly, they had to fix their hope and focus upon the Lord. Fix our hope and focus upon God. It would have been easy to say, oh, the world is, you know, the sky is falling like Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The world is falling apart. Everything that we've known, everything that we've relied upon is now gone. Why bother? Have we ever said, why bother? Have we ever said, oh, it's just not worth it? But the Lord encourages Joshua, and I think it's an encouragement for us as well, that if we want to live a life that is pleasing to Him and live a life that is according to His purpose for us, that we fix our hope on Him and focus on Him rather than focusing on things that are broken. Humanity is lives a broken existence. It says in Scripture that we've all fallen short of the glory of God because we've all sinned. So for us to put our hope and our trust in humanity, we're putting it in something that is broken and something that is flawed and something that is going to let us down. But Joshua and the Israelites were encouraged to put their hope in the Lord, fix their eyes on Him. And it was almost as if it was a reminder to keep the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, central to all that they were doing. Joshua led his team by example. He led his team by example. He didn't ask the Israelites to do anything that he wasn't going to do. Are there people around us? Are there people in our families? Are there people in our church family? Are there people in our family of origin who maybe don't know Jesus or have who have heard of him but are not in relationship with him now and actually can't see a way clear? We can't just say, oh, well, you believe and it'll be okay, when sometimes we find it difficult to believe ourselves, don't we? There are times where we probably share those words where we say, I'm not sure that I can see a way clear here. Joshua led his team by example. He held his team accountable for their choices and made sure that they followed the directions that God gave them. He spent time seeking God's will. Bill Hybels wrote a book a number of years ago that says, Too Busy Not to Pray. Now, Bill Hybels is, there's been many things that have come out around Bill Hybels' life in recent days, but friends, that book is so true. We often live a life where we say, I'm too busy to seek God's will. I'm too busy. But I want to challenge us each this morning that maybe we need to live out the essence of what he encourages those in that book where he says, I'm too busy not to pray. Too busy not to seek God's direction in this situation that I find myself. Joshua obeyed God. Well, of course he did. He had no other choice, did he? Sure he did. There's plenty of other choices. He could have done whatever he liked. But he chose to obey God. And as if we look further into this book of Joshua, you will see in there that God gave them directions to go into and to cross the river in chapter 3. They cross the Jordan River. And he says, you will need to go and to cross the river. Now, they've been through this already, haven't they? Crossing a water expanse. Do they do it exactly the same way as they did last time? No, they waited last time, didn't they? The crossing of the Red Sea, and they waited for Moses' arms to be up. They held his arms up and people went across. Is God going to turn up in the same way this time? No. How often do we, friends, expect God to turn up exactly the same way each and every time? Well, God turned up this way last time. That's what he'll do this time. Do we honestly think, and it's a yes from me, by the way, do we honestly think that God only ever works in this box? In this way? This is the way that he's showed up before, so I'll do that again. Now, if we look across into chapter 3, you will see in there that it's not the same way at all. It's not the leader standing on the sidelines with their arms up, but no, they had to go into the water, and it's once their foot hit the water that the waters separated. They actually had to put their faith to take that first step, and it was in the first step that God honored their obedience. God honored their obedience. There's a whole bunch of unknown around crossing the Jordan in that space. There is more than a little bit of an unknown. The courage to move past our feet and any unexpected challenges that arise comes in the stepping out. There would have been so much in their humanity that said, this is not how it's supposed to be. But I have to take the step anyway. I have to take the step anyway because God has asked me to take the step. This is not what the picture looked like last time. I remember last time there was walls of water, that there was dry land in front of us. We were moving through. That's what it's supposed to look like when God turns up. And for those, the Levites who were carrying the ark, for that Levitical priest to put his foot into the water, I know that if I was in that space, I'd be saying, this is not what it looks like. I'm not sure God's turning up here. But they took the step anyway. Joshua and his the people of Israel had the faith to believe that God is good and that He is for our good. That God is good. In the midst of taking that step, believing that God is good, where they cannot see the destination, they haven't got a GPS to put it in, but I will take the first step. And I will take the next step. And I will take the next step, not knowing where the destination is, but who is going to lead me there. A number of weeks ago, we had an officer friend come from Papua New Guinea, and he stayed with us for a couple of days, and we had an opportunity to chat, and I was challenged by his level of faith. I actually questioned a couple of times during our conversations whether I had any at all in comparison. You see, when we want to do something, when we want to be involved in something, when we decide whether we're going to do things or not do things in life, we go to an ATM. Well, if there's money in there, yeah, we can do it. For this officer, colleague, friend of mine who had come to Australia when he wants to do anything, he prays. He seeks God in the situation. It's not about whether he's got the resources. He knows God has infinite resources. And he said to me on one of the days that he was with me, he said, I know I don't have the resources to do this, but I know God does. So I'm going to go to God and ask God that if He wants me to do this, then I would be involved. I think sometimes within our society in which we live, we don't get opportunities to stretch our faith because we stay within our means. We're taught to stay within our means as a level of basic economics. You don't, well, my mum told me, don't spend more than you earn. Now, she didn't say it once, she said it way too many times, and I probably only listened once or twice. But that's what we learn. And yet, we serve an infinite God we sing in our songs that we say that He is indescribable and He wants to give us exceedingly more, but we spend so much time within our own resources that we're not like the people of Israel on that day at all. The challenge for us is to say, actually, I don't know what the next step is. It doesn't look like the way that it was before, but I'm choosing to believe that God is good and He is for our good. I'm going to take that next step of what it looks like. When God led the people of Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, He chose the harvest season. What does that even mean? To choose the harvest season. If we go into verse 14, when the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. Anyone ever been near a flooded river? Can you get to the riverbank? Is it nice and paved to get down to the water's edge so you can just dangle your feet over the edge and, you know, swing your feet in the water? Have you ever been near a flooded river? That's not what it's like at all. It's a trudge. There's mud. There's tough times that come with trying to get to the river. We're not even talking about crossing it yet. We're talking about getting to the river. What does it tell us about our journey? When God asks us to step out, there are going to be tough times. It's going to be sometimes a struggle. But we have to continue to believe that God is good. That God is for our good and that He wants the best for us. Not just some good stuff here and there along the way, but the best. He wants to give us, as Paul encourages, the exceedingly more than we could ask or imagine. Let's read on. So when those who bore the ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the ark were dipped in the water's edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zerathan, while those flowing toward the sea of the Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed the Jordan opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on dry land, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation had crossed over. We're not talking about 900 people like, or 1,000 people like we have in Kalbar, or 4,000 people that are in Boona. We're talking about 2 million people. Can you imagine the entire population of Brisbane needing to cross the Brisbane River? It's going to take some time. So it's not just a fluke that the water was not just damp ground, but we're talking about dry ground, Scripture tells us. So God had made a way where, when they were about to take that step and the priest touched the water's edge, there would have seemed to be no way. As soon as that first foot hit the waters split. What a breathtaking image for those who are picture people. The Ark of the Covenant, a visual symbol of God's presence, stood in the middle while the Israelite people crossed that dry riverbed. God did the impossible for them on that day. So tell me the excuses, rhetorical please, tell me the excuses as to why God can't do the impossible for us today. Why can't God do the impossible for us? He can do the same for you, and for those who choose to follow Him and obey what He's asked us to do, seek His will, He does make the impossible possible. Let's turn over to Joshua chapter 7 for just a moment. And these first 9 verses are, I want to read with us before we just look at one more thing for this story. We could have easily stopped in chapter 1:1-9, but I think there is so much more. There's so much more to this passage, and we would have almost paused at that moment. But the Israelites broke faith in regard to the devoted things, and they went. In this passage, in Joshua chapter 7, they went and tried to do something on their own. How often is it that we think, oh, well, God stand up for me before, I'm just going to go and do it all by myself. He'll show up. He did before. And our humanity gets in the road of following what God asks us to do. When Joshua sought God, God was faithful to provide Joshua with the instructions for what was going to happen next. And then they said, but I can do this all by myself. And they went against what God was asking to do. And in verse 10, after he sent the spies out, and they said, "Oh, just send 3,000, they'll be fine." Joshua says, "What can I say now? They've turned their back on what you've asked them to do." The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. Israel has sinned. They've transgressed my covenant. They've taken some of the devoted things, have stolen and acted deceitfully. Therefore, Israel are unable to stand before their enemies because they turn their back to their enemies, because they have a thing devoted and destruction and brought destruction for themselves." God is a God who wants so much to be in relationship with us. We read here about the wrath of God. If we turn across to, Hosea chapter 11, and in that passage we read about the wrath of God, and then right at the end it says, "And he turned his heart toward them because of the compassion that he had for them, and he changed his mind." He didn't give them what they deserved, but because of his love for them, he gave them what was best. It gives me hope. It can give you hope too, that we live a life sometimes where we say, "I'm going to do it all by myself." And we don't get what we deserve, but instead what we get is our sins paid for. We get a Savior because God changed his mind, and a world of humanity, we did not get what we deserved. Because the wages of sin, as Paul tells the church in Rome, is the wages of sin is death. The cost of sin is death. But God didn't send death. He sent life, life in abundance through his son Jesus. So maybe we see ourselves somewhere in that story this morning. We may see ourselves as, "We can't see the next step, but I'm going to take it. God hasn't turned up the same way as he has before. So is it really God? Is he going to be there? He's asked me to step out. Am I prepared to step out? Because I can't see God in the same way that I saw him before. Does that mean he's not there?" Or maybe we see ourselves as, "We can look back and see that God has been faithful for us for a long time, but I'm going to do this next bit all by myself." Whenever those words come into my mind of "all by myself," it always reminds me of the little children that we see at the shops, at the supermarkets, who dress themselves. They may even come and visit us at work if we work in early childhood or in primary school settings. We see the little ones coming and they dress themselves today. My most favourite one, I was walking down Ballina Fair Shopping Centre and someone had flippers on with a tutu. Is that a commitment from you next time you go to the shops, Corey? Lisa's here to hear it. She'll make sure you're doing it. I'm not sure if the tutu or the flippers, I'm not sure. But it's not always practical to do the things all by ourselves that we think are best for us. And we have parents that can guide us and help us in that space. We have a Heavenly Father who wants to bring us from where we've been to where he wants us to be, to live a life of purpose. We may be just like the Israelite people and can really resonate with, "I can do it by myself. I haven't really relied on God to carry me in these recent days. I've done it all by myself." Well, this morning, wherever we find ourselves in that story, the thing that is unchanged is a faithful God. That in the midst of the entire story of Joshua, right up until this point, we see a faithful God who wants to continue his plan with his people. irrespective of humanity's brokenness and their ignorance towards the plan, he continues to want the best for his people. Have you ever stood at the edge of your water, knowing that God wants to take you across, and thought, I'm tired. I can't walk across here. I'm not even sure I can take that next step. God's not asking us to cross the river. He's asking us to take the step of faith, believing that God is good and that He is for our good. One step. And allow God to move in that space when we are faithful in following His directions for our life. So we've read Scripture this morning. We've wrestled it out, and you've heard some of my wrestle from this week. So what? So what about tomorrow? So what about Wednesday? So what about next weekend? That's a nice story. Joshua's a nice guy. It's a nice story. Yeah, we know he took Jericho because he marched around seven times. There were plenty of people that wanted it to happen the first time, though, didn't they? You want me to march around again? You want me to step out again? You want me to put my faith in your instructions again? Maybe that's us. Maybe I've done it before and I can imagine walking around that city once would have been long enough, but to have to do it seven times, believing that God would be there. There wasn't a whole bunch of time distance between them putting their foot in the river where God showed up and trusting Him again, and yet they said again, you want us, you mean all the way around? Maybe that's us. Maybe we can acknowledge that space. There are lots of things that I want to just share these two thoughts. Often, including me with the GPS, we like to be in control. And with pride and arrogance, we take charge and follow our own agenda rather than saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm so busy saying my that it's hard for me to say your kingdom come, God. We think that we know what God will do. He's done it before, so He'll do it again. So we just do something according to the way He's shown up before rather than following God's steps all the way along. So this morning, choose today who you will serve. Are we trusting on what's been? Are we trusting on the fact that God will show up, that God has shown up, that we take that step in the midst of the harvest? It was going to be tough. Jesus says that we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross. Sacrifice something of ourselves to follow Him. That it's not going to be easy. So who do we serve? Are we serving a distant memory of a God that spoke to us once or twice? Or are we saying, God, I know what you've asked me to do for the next step. I'm just tired. I can't seem to get my foot out of the mud on that swollen river and take that first step. May God grant strength to us in these days and choose who we will serve. as it says at the end of Joshua in chapter 24, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will allow Him to guide us along His path for us. So who will you serve today? Maybe the other side of the question is, who have we been serving? Maybe these words that we are about to sing can be something of our prayer. This is my desire to honour you. Joining with Paul in those words that he wrote in his letters, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards the goal that is in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what's behind, pressing on to what God has for us. That, Lord, with all my heart I worship you. Lord, with all my heart I give you everything there is of me. As we sing together, let's have an opportunity to respond to God's message to us. Thanks, Neil.